I want to talk about how the way we talk about purifying our heart and mind and doing the practice can sometimes sound like a paradox, you know, like we're saying two opposite things. So for example, this is in my mind, there's a very famous saying, teaching of all the Buddhas, do good, avoid evil, purify the mind, purify the heart, teaching of all the Buddhas. And of course we say that we talk about the unwholesome qualities of greed, hatred, and confusion. The Buddha was very clear that the source of our suffering, the source of all our suffering in the world, is when we're being driven by these forces of greed, hatred, delusion, and it leads to harmful acts and suffering for others. It's clear about that. And at the same time, the instructions that I'm talking about, but also general Vipassana instructions. Let me read this from Sayadaw Utejaniya, because he says it in a very emphatic way, but what I'm talking about in the instructions. He says, there's almost a mantra in the way I teach, which is we're not practicing to make things happen in the mind, such as equanimity, or to make things go away, such as fear or uncertainty. Rather, we practice in order to observe things as they are happening and to understand. But I would say for me, for many people, we think, what do you mean we're not practicing to cultivate equanimity? What do you mean we're not practicing so that we're not so lost in fear and uncertainty? I'm certainly practicing. I prefer equanimity to fear and uncertainty, right? And we talk about cultivating the wholesome and abandoning the unwholesome. But yet the instructions are, as he said, to observe things as they are happening and to understand. So it's not to think about how to practice in order that something will go away, like fear, so that then you can enjoy equanimity. And this may seem obvious, but it gets subtle. In my mind anyway, I'll think I'm just being with things as they are. But subtly in the background, if I do it this way, the fear will go. And if I do it that way, maybe the joy will come. The way to approach practice is to remember, first and foremost, that the mind suffers whenever it either resists or craves having an experience. The right attitude is instead accepting, observing, and learning from your experience just as it is. So, I don't, do you get a sense of how that could be confusing? Because if we go one step deeper, you could say, in an old Vipassana is about observing or being present. Observing sometimes is like you could feel like you're holding stuff at a distance, and it doesn't mean that. So sometimes I prefer feeling or being with whatever works for your particular mind heart, but it's being with it as it is, not oh la la la, fear over there somewhere. So if there's fear, observing Vipassana mind, right attitude is really with it, but aware of the fear, not identified, not lost in it. But you think, so what? You just feel the fear more fully that way. It's worse. How is this going to free the heart and mind? What frees the heart and mind from, it's true, these kalesas, these torments of mind are the source of our suffering. When the Buddha talks about nibbana or cessation of suffering, one of the ways he talks about it again and again is the heart mind that's released from greed, hatred, and delusion, confusion, meing and maying. So it's definitely not like, sure, they're here or they're not, it doesn't matter. But the problem with these, how they cause suffering is one, when they're present and we're not aware they're present. They distort our recognition of experience and the way we understand experience. And so we continue trying to make ourselves happy. And even if we're thinking this equanimity is going to make me happy, we continue trying to make ourselves happy by using the tools of greed and aversion, of wanting and dislike, because that's what we've been taught and that's all we know. And as long as that's the lens we're looking through, we can't recognize life or ourselves in another way. And so one of the other ways the Buddha talks about what frees us is accurate recognition of things as they are. So this is what, to me, when I started, I mean, I'm just beginning to understand, you know, it's like our whole life, that wisdom, panya, the transformative wisdom, not intellectual understanding, but the real transformative wisdom, arises from accurate recognition of what's going on here in all our senses, in our heart and mind, in our interaction with the world. When the recognition is accurate, the fact that going from greed, going from ill will, pushing things away, the fact that that is keeping us mired in confusion and suffering becomes so obvious that the mind, the simple mind with right attitude that's just observing this, it just naturally lets go. So what's amazing is that in the natural effect of a moment of the heart, mind, clear seeing is wisdom arises naturally. And when there's wisdom, wisdom does not, it's a function of the mind. It's not something we have to own, me, I'm so wise. It's not something I have to create. It's a natural effect of steady, persevering awareness. It's just recognizing how things are obvious, that this wanting is causing the suffering, that the wisdom mind just for a moment, not forever, puts it down. The natural effect of wisdom is the wholesome, beautiful qualities are strengthened, are fed, and the torments, the confusing, the suffering qualities are just naturally, you have to push them away. The mind just lets go because they don't make sense. They don't fit in. It's so obvious they're not doing what we wanted them to do. To me, this is like, oh my gosh. It takes all the sense of I'm so stupid or I'm not wise or I have to do this and I have to create equanimity and I have to get rid of aversion. And you can hear as I say that, what does it sound like are the motivations in the mind that's saying all that? Right? Me, me, me. I want this. I don't want that. I'm not good enough. I have to do this. That's how we know how to function, right? So what are we doing from that? Our trust, our faith, how we grow up, our faith is that desire is what gets us what we want. When we're practicing here, just receptive, relax, be with whatever's happening. I mean, that's so hard for us. Because what's happening isn't good enough or doesn't match our idea, or it's going along fine. Things are coming, it's being known, awareness is going along. And so often people will say, but it's too easy. I'm not doing anything. If I tried harder, maybe it would go faster. If I tried harder, then, you know, maybe the right thing would happen. We just don't trust the natural unfolding. So why we practice, you know? So the paradox is the steady awareness of recognizing just what's occurring, just as it is, even if that's greed or ill will or pushing something away. It's the awareness that simply recognizes what's happening without adding anything extra, without trying to change, but steady, not just a moment here and then, you know, 10 minutes off and then another moment. That's why we have to cultivate the steadiness, because then it's inevitable, really. It's just a law of nature. It's not your personal success or failure. Let that go. Man, that's such a relief. It's just the way nature works, the Dharma, like gravity. You know, we can like gravity, we can dislike gravity. Unless we're Superwoman or Superman, we're under the law of gravity, and it doesn't matter what we think about it, you know? So we don't think about it much. So it's a law, really, of the Dharma. Dharma just means the way things are. That steady, steady awareness with right attitude that lets the mind recognize accurately. It can't help but see that the torments are just that, torments. And it puts them down. It can't help but see. It just happens naturally when the heart, mind, when the consciousness isn't clouded by greed or it's all about me or fear. It just doesn't happen to be there in that moment. If you see someone suffering, compassion naturally comes. You don't have to create it. I mean, we can practice compassion, that's great. But in a moment of pure heart, mind, confronted with suffering, that's what comes. The wholesome arises naturally. Equanimity in the face of things as they are that we can't change arises naturally. The mind still thinks. We don't get so caught up. And when we do get caught up, it's like, oh, caught up is like this. It's okay. And in that moment, again, there's that receptive, non-judging, I want to say pure awareness, awareness with right attitude, that isn't getting lost in manipulation. The steadiness of that is what allows the whole world to reveal itself. Our own particular inner world, our personality, our subtle levels of what's going on in the mind and heart, from really subtle to gross. Can you all still hear me? I'm getting flashings on my screen. Am I frozen? No, I'm hearing nothing. No?
No, you're not frozen, but you okay. Do keep coming in and out.
Yeah, I can't do anything about it. I'm just getting flashings, unstable internet connection. I don't know why. Sorry about that. So, recognizing accurately is really the heart of this Vipassana practice, is that really non-interfering and completely receptive, more than some teachers. He doesn't so much use a technique of focusing, which can be certainly helpful. I'm not saying not. That's just this particular style. So the Dalai Lama, videos online. I often listen to some Dalai Lama video in the morning, and he says a lot of the same things over and over, but it's always good to hear. Anyway, he said, because of inappropriate attention or unwise attention, this is what gives rise to all the negative emotions, unwise attention. So what would unwise attention be? Duh, right? It could be attention. You're present with something, but it's through the filter of wanting or disliking or judging or trying to shift, or the filter of it's all about me. And when attention is unwise, inappropriate in that way, the way we understand the situation is inaccurate. And it leads to more suffering. Let me give you a very simple example. Our friend was telling me from practicing in Burma. So he was sitting in the meditation hall there. And it's, are you sure you've heard stories about practice in Asia? It's noisy. It's always noisy. But this particular sitting, I mean, there's like 100 guys in the men's hall. And partway through, someone behind him started snoring. Like really, really loudly. So you can relate, you know. Of course, it's aware of hearing, but also the snoring and also the idea, disrespectful, It's bothering me. Why do you come in the hall if you're going to snore? Take your pick, right, of all the ways our mind would relate to it. And of course, you know, irritation's growing, aversion's growing. He could be aware of that. He was aware of the irritation. So there's still mindfulness, but not exactly aware of the view that this should not be happening, the snoring. You know, there's that guy's growing. Then suddenly there was some kind of a shift in his mind. He didn't look around or anything. He didn't look around at the guy, but there was a shift in his mind and he heard the sound differently. And he heard it as that it was coming from outside where they were doing construction work. And you should know in meditation centers in Burma, they are always doing construction work loudly. So it was coming from, he thought, oh, it's coming from outside. It's like a kind of a buzzsaw. And then that's what he really thought it was. So the perception shifted. And then it was a very hot day and he started feeling compassion for these poor people who were out in this hot sun having to work on the buzzsaw. And so the unwholesome went away and there was the beautiful, the compassion. But then it flipped back because he didn't actually know which perception was accurate. He didn't know because he didn't look around. And then he got really interested. And this is the greatest way of mindfulness practice. You just get interested to watch how the mind works. And so he really saw with a sound. It was the same sound, right? Unpleasant sound. But when the mind saw the unpleasant and then blamed, it shouldn't be happening. It went into a whole world of suffering. When the mind perceived it differently, it was still unpleasant, but there was no blame. It's just happening like this. And then it went into compassion. Watching both of those cause and effect trains is fascinating. And that's where the wisdom really arises. You get a sense of that? So that's why we say in this style of practice, just keep on being steady. Even if you see desire coming up, say after this, after we're done here formally together, and you have this strong desire to go do something, you know, something not harmful, but just get out and blow off your energy, and your mind says, no, let me just stay aware. You see this desire strongly. Maybe you act from it, maybe you don't. Either way, bring the awareness along. We learn just as much how the mind and heart works, how suffering arises and how it ceases in our heart and mind by being steadily aware of how, as Utejaniya says, how the kalesas, how the torments are doing their job. This is how desire does its job. It takes us along and it says, this is your way to happiness. Your only way. Follow me. So follow. But if we're starting to trust the awareness, no matter what's going on, no matter what, and I mean that radically, no matter what, then it's inevitable that the reality of suffering and freedom starts to present itself because that's just the way it is. And even though I'm saying this as intellectual, so I have enough understanding and knowing and trusting of it that I can say it, but I'm not always in that space. Saying it isn't the same as really knowing it in a moment. So we practice, we forget. But then, oh, here's the awareness. I'm in the middle of a rage. Oh, I blew it, I'm no good. I need to go sit and cultivate compassion. Bring the awareness in right there in the middle of the rage. Don't wait till everything's all nice and copacetic and you can do your practice. Bring in awareness here and now. Trust that through steady, clear seeing, wisdom arises. It's not like something you can mess up, you know, because it's the way things are. So it can seem, you know, like it's a real dichotomy. We're saying, don't try to create the wholesome. But yes, freedom of heart and mind arises when the wholesome factors are here and the unwholesome ones aren't. But when unwholesome arise, just keep meeting it with wise attention. So the Dalai Lama said, all our tormenting emotions arise from inappropriate, unwise attention. But there's also, it's often spoken of by the Buddha, Yoniso Manasikara, which is usually translated as wise attention or appropriate attention. Mushumi Ghosh Matet, who's the translator for Sayadaw Utejaniya often, she told, gave me a really nice translation that they use the way in Burmese, the word Yoniso Manasikara is translated is, let's see, I wrote it down, I wanted to get it right. Taking to heart in the right way. So wise attention, appropriate attention to whatever's occurring, be that joy, pain in the body, subtle sensation of breath, desire, self-judgment, sleepiness, appropriate attention, taking to heart in the right way is really what we've been talking about as this now. Taking it to heart in the right way is being with it just as it is, without judgment, aversion, or desire. And aversion comes up, fine. That's not a failing. That's the next arising experience. Aversion being recognized with awareness, it's still aversion. It still feels crappy, but it's not personal anymore. And that's how the whole thing changes. The whole thing changes. So I just wanted to, I didn't want to go too much into, but I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, because sometimes it's confusing and it slips in so, so subtly. The trying to ever so subtly steer our practice in the right way, because we remember a time when it was the right way, huh? If you've practiced before. A couple people in the questions before mentioned, you know, other time on retreat, they remembered it was like that. Okay, if that's just remembered as a possibility without attachment, that can be useful. Not everything's the way we think it is. But if we remembered, oh, that's the right way, and this here, what am I doing? How can I fix it? Then that's the rabbit hole we're going down. Not of thinking, but of really having desire and aversion be the place that we place our faith. So taking to heart in the right way with this, resting at ease in whatever arises. But our habit, and certainly how I was brought up, is that we put our trust in craving. We put our trust in repelling what's unpleasant. Somehow, it never happens for more than an instant, but have we given up yet? We're going to organize the whole world, all our sense experience and everything it comes in contact with in such a way that we're not suffering anymore. And if we say that, we say, oh no, I know better than that. But I don't think I'm alone in that it creeps in more and more subtly. But here in this style of practice, you recognize, you can learn to recognize when it's creeping in. You know, when I mentioned earlier, if you're feeling a sense of struggle, that's a great clue. I can be doing walking meditation or just walking in life, being present, spaced out, and present is just as it is, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. But when there starts to be a sense of struggle, as soon as I feel that, like, oh, what's going on? And I don't go into analyzing it like Lori was saying, not thinking that. What's going on? I relax. Oh, let me feel it. Tightness, heaviness. Oh, I'm just being with what is. I don't want it to be. It's just, oh no, I am so judging this experience and I didn't even see it. I love it when that happens. I mean, when I finally see it, I love it because there's this sense of relief. Oh, that's what's happening, judging. It's like this. Awareness is here again. You don't have to get rid of that thing. But what's switched is all the faith and confidence that has moved from desire and aversion and me getting it right to faith and awareness, to trust in the simplicity of awareness, just in a moment. The Velcro's gone. It's just like this now. That's so simple, so not fancy. It's really difficult for us to trust it. And we need the steady experience of seeing how that opens up a whole, a deeper, more reliable understanding of ourselves and experience and the world. So that's really why this style of practice, the direction it's going in, and why we say whatever's going on, just remember awareness. It's fine, whatever's happening.